listening to the Survival in Motion podcast. Learn, adapt, prepare, survive.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Survival in Motion podcast. This is author Cal Wilson. On today's podcast, we're going to talk about cache tube prepping. Cache spelled C-A-C-H-E. And before we get to it, I've got a couple of other quick comments. My latest book, EMP NYC, is almost out. And by the time you listen to this podcast, it may already be out, depending on how long the editing process takes with this podcast. But it's called EMP NYC. EMP means electromagnetic pulse. NYC stands for New York City. So it is the tales of survival of people in New York City after an electromagnetic pulse attack. It's almost out. The release date is officially March 30th, and I'm looking forward to it. It's been 2.5 years in the making. It's a very interesting book, in my opinion. It's possible that, even though this is part two in a series, that you could read this book as a standalone book. I think that's okay. There's some characters, a little bit of background that it might help if you read the first book, EMP, The End of the Grid as We Know It. But you can definitely skip that book if you'd like and just read this EMP NYC book. And I think you'll be up to speed on all the different personalities. There are a whole bunch of different locations in this book. In fact, in some respect, it's kind of a travelogue. Let's see, it starts outside of Tokyo and then New York City, obviously. And then there's a conference call with several higher-ups in the U.S. government, like the president's chief of staff, secretary of defense, head of the CIA. Let's see, there's a scene in Tennessee, and then there's New York City. This book is more event and character-driven than the first EMP book. And there are a lot of New York City landmarks that are discussed in this book. And I'm just kind of off the top of my head here. The cruise ship area and the Hudson River off of Hell's Kitchen there. And there's a cruise ship and then the Hudson River, obviously. There's a landmark, the Statue of Liberty. There's the Wall Street area, kind of the lower Manhattan area. The main bridge is across the East River, starting with the Brooklyn Bridge, Manhattan Bridge, and then the other bridge. And then there's the UN building. There's the Empire State Building. There's Central Park. There's Broadway. The street, a lot of activity happens around NYU, including Washington Square. And if you've ever wondered, that marble arch in Washington Square, it actually does have an inside to it. Yes, it is theoretically possible to go inside that marble arch. There was an interesting YouTube video on that. So there's a scene that takes place inside that marble arch at Washington Square, right nearby NYU. What other landmarks? There's a scene at Harlem. There's a little bit of reference to some of the music, you know, the Apollo Theater, the Brill Building, you know, where, I don't know, maybe 100 years ago, it used to be Tin Pan Alley, where the music industry just kind of gets together in the Brill Building. And so I had to make reference to that. There's Times Square, yes. There's that Trinity Church in the Wall Street area. There's the Hudson River Parkway. What else? There's just a passing reference to Gracie Mansion. Anyways, you can tell there's a whole lot of reference to New York City landmarks. Now, there are some specific references to New York City locations. Like I said, Hudson Parkway, the bridges and tunnels. There's Washington Square, the Lincoln Center. There's some scenes, like I said, involving a kidnapping outside of Tokyo, conference call with the chief of staff. The Israeli intelligence service, known as the Mossad, makes an appearance. There's a wedding in Tennessee, airplane ride. A nuclear bomb gets dismantled and put back together. There are phosgene and sarin gas attacks. There's a riot in Central Park. There's scuba diving in New York City's subway system and also in the tunnels. Okay, so that's the book EMP NYC. It will be out this coming Saturday, March 30th. 2019. Not going to go into details, but a whole bunch of personal stuff has gotten in the way. That's why it has been a little over 2 years since my last book. But anyway, I'm excited about this book. I'm feeling good about it, and I think it's going to do well. All right, let me talk about just one other thing before I get into the main topic of today's podcast, which is cash tube prepping. And that is this. There are a couple of other really good prepper podcasts that have closed down or about to close down. I'm talking about In the Rabbit Hole, Prepper Recon, and Bob Main's Prepper Show. Bob Main is still doing the gun podcast, which I would recommend you listen to. Prepper Recon is Mark Goodwin's show. I understand he's moved to a part of the country that has almost zero internet connection, so it's very difficult for him to keep that up. It's too bad we can't listen to his new podcast, Prepper Recon, every week. I always enjoyed listening to those podcasts. Of course, I was a guest on a couple of them. In the Rabbit Hole is not yet shut down for new podcasts, but that was a real special, or it still is, I mean, for the next couple of months, a special prepper podcast run by Aaron Frankel. He had an announcement recently where he did mention a few things that have gone on in his life, among which is the passing of his father. I sent him a condolence email about that. And that's, well, it's always very tragic, but especially in the context that it happened here. He also lost a dog. And don't get me started about dogs. Dogs can be so loving and so close. They can feel just like a regular family member. And through the years, I myself have had dogs who have passed away. And I had one about 7 years ago that just disappeared. And it's a heartbreak, no doubt about it. You know, I went through a box of Kleenex last time that happened to me. So I definitely feel for Aaron Frankel. I'm sorry about the tragedies that have happened to him recently. I understand he's kind of ready to move forward in his life beyond In the Rabbit Hole. But that was a great prepper podcast. So I'm sorry to see it go. There are some other very good prepper podcasts, including Prepping 2.0, which is new, Mind for Survival, Survival in Motion, and Mind for Survival basically began at roughly around the same time. Of course, Survival in Motion is not a weekly thing. So Mind for Survival, I think, has over 100. Well, I'm just ballparking it, but I know he has a whole lot more prepper podcast episodes than Survival in Motion does. But anyway, that brings me to Survival in Motion. I'm having a lot of fun. I love kicking around the ideas that I discuss here at this podcast. I enjoy interviewing authors, whether it's survivalist author, a thriller author, a prepper author. I've structured this podcast, Survival in Motion, so the overhead is not that bad. And, you know, I'm not making money off of it, but I'm having a lot of fun with it, so I'm going to keep it up. I feel like, on average, it's one episode a month, so I kind of feel like I'm still just getting started, even though it's been over a year. Has it been over a year? Yeah. So anyway, I feel great about this. I feel like Survival in Motion is just getting started, and I'm really enjoying it. And I'm not losing too much money, which is nice. So I believe Survival in Motion is a podcast that will be around a while. All right, let's go to the main topic that I wanted to talk about here on today's Survival in Motion podcast, and that is cash tube prepping. And yes, I am echoing the parts of my books, Chapter 18 of Dirt Cheap Valuable Survival Retreat, and also the chapter on containers in Dirt Cheap Valuable Prepping. Those two chapters I have there. Let me start off by saying, what about a 5 gallon bucket? If you want to store stuff inside a container and then bury it, what's wrong with a 5 gallon bucket? In my experience, they are just not durable enough and they are not watertight enough. You can give it a try and, I don't know, maybe wrap it inside a contractor's bag and then bury it. That might work. But I'm just generally not too impressed with 5 gallon buckets as something to fill up and then bury. So I wouldn't recommend that, although if you want to give it a try, go for it. The PVC pipe is a white plastic pipe. Maybe it's an AR versus AK thing, you know. Different people have different preferences. When it comes to filling something up and then burying it, I just prefer ABS, not PVC. PVC pipe is the white plastic pipe. Maybe it's because I've seen PVC out in the sun too much and then just get real brittle and wimpy and then just cracks real quickly. So I don't know. Maybe that's my problem with PVC. I much prefer a material called ABS, which is black plastic. So let me go into the ingredients of what I'm talking about. The ingredients, I paid for about $55 the other day at Lowe's. And here's what I paid for: a 2 foot long, 4 inch diameter ABS tube. And you can buy them a whole lot longer than just 2 feet if you want. And by the way, yes, you can use a wood saw and cut them down any size you want. But just right off the shelf, this came 2 feet long, like I said, 4 inch diameter. I also got some all-purpose cement. And if you call it all-purpose glue, that's about the same. All-purpose meaning it can work on PVC or ABS. I bought something called a 4-inch cap in the ABS section of Lowe's. A 4-inch cap is what it's called. I also bought a 4-inch female adapter. I'd say it's about maybe 4 inches diameter, but it's about 4 inches long also on the outside. And what it's meant to do is slip over the outside of the ABS tube. So the inside of part of this is smooth. The inside of the other part of this is threaded. So it's kind of like a collar. This is called a 4-inch female adapter. And it's black. It's made of ABS. It's meant to glue on one side of the ABS tube. Another thing I bought is a 4-inch plug, P-L-U-G, and that part of the female adapter that is threaded, that's meant for this 4-inch plug, and it screws into the end of that so that when you have the smooth part of this female adapter glued onto one end of that pipe, you've got the threaded end still sticking out, and that's what you screw in this 4-inch plug into. All right, what else did I buy? Plumber's tape. It's kind of difficult to deal with. The bottom line is you wrap this around the threads of this 4-inch plug, and then you screw it in. That's what makes it watertight. And you have to screw it around. Let me see. As you're looking down on this 4-inch plug, you do it counterclockwise because you're screwing it in clockwise. And you want to make sure that the tape is wrapped up in the same direction that you're screwing this in. All right, so what else did I buy? I bought some nuts to throw around where you bury this thing. All right, so here's a couple of other comments. ABS in the ground looks like a sewage line, you know? So if anybody was digging around, somebody besides you is digging around in your garden or in your front yard, and they come across this, they'll look at it and say, oh no, that looks like a sewage line, so I'm going to stay away from it. In fact, I'm going to run away from it. So that's a good deterrent just by the appearances of this thing. Here's something else. I'm all in favor of pinching pennies when it comes to prepping stuff. I wrote 2 books that start with dirt cheap, valuable. All right, so take it from me. I've got credibility when it comes to being cheap, all right? Don't even think about getting a used ABS pipe. You know what that means? That means it's been a sewage pipe. So let's not even go there. I'm not even going to crack jokes about that. So it's that pungent. I'm feeling myself getting a little sick to my stomach even thinking about it. So a lot of stuff out there in the prepping survival world, you can get used stuff, but don't even think about it with an ABS pipe, because that means it's been used as a sewage pipe. Now, assembling it, here is the deal. Like I said, you can saw the ABS tube if you want to make it shorter. You know, you can make this as small as 6 inches long if you want, and just store jewelry in it and, you know, bury it somewhere and not worry about it. Or I'm sticking with a 2 foot long one here. But here's the deal. You open up the can of all-purpose cement, and this has a little wire that goes straight down, and it's got kind of like a cotton ball. So pull that out and then circle around. Make sure you circle around one end of this tube. Circle it around. Don't leave any spaces where it's not covered with glue. The last, say, inch and a half down on this tube here. And then grab the end cap and then put that on the end of the tube where you've just put the glue, and then smack it in. Just punch it in and then leave it. Let the all-purpose cement slash glue just dry. On the other end, you do the same thing with the glue again, except you take out the plug and just get this female, this collar thing, and push it on to the end, this 4-inch female adapter. Make sure there's a lot of glue, an inch and a half down, all the way around this tube, and then push this female adapter in and pop it in there and make sure it's as far down as it will go. And I say that about the glue, make sure it's all the way around so that you don't have to worry about water leaking into these things. Whenever you bury anything into a garden or a front yard, it's always going to get rained on. If the water can find a way into your cache tube, it will. And then someday you'll go out there and dig it up and it'll be totally full of water. And you don't want that to happen. About a day, just leave it alone, let the glue dry, and then you can fill it up. Well, after you fill it up, put the plumber's tape on this end cap and then screw it into the female adapter. And then it's watertight. Okay, this is not just for burying. A cache tube can be put inside a tree. It can be put inside a car fender or under the seat of a car. Of course, then you've got to worry about if that tree is going to stay there or if the car will get stolen or whatever. So that's not optimal, in my opinion. You can also incorporate a cache tube into furniture or under a floor in a house or inside a house wall. And my cautionary thing about that is just watch the movie The Christmas Wish. It's also known as The Great Rupert Christmas movie starring Jimmy Durante. And that movie is a great Christmas movie on its own. But this will teach you why it's not a good idea to hide stuff inside the wall of your house. And I'll just leave it at that. After you have this cache tube filled up and ready to be buried, and after you bury it, then you need to toss a whole lot of nuts on the ground. And I'm talking about the mechanical nuts. I bought some here for this cache tube. The size doesn't matter, but these were 10 by 24, 100 pieces, hexagonal nuts, whatever. It doesn't matter, just so long as you just take these nuts and just toss them on the ground all throughout your front yard, all throughout your flower bed, all throughout everywhere. And the thinking there is, if somebody comes onto your property with a metal detector and they're looking to see, oh, I'm going to dig up anything that guy buried. After one or two of finding these nuts on the ground, they'll get frustrated and probably leave. You can also make them more obvious to a metal detector by putting some screws in there, some machine screws. But I would caution you against using machine screws that are too long, or especially nails, because you never know if barefoot kids might be walking through your front yard, and next thing you know, you've got an injured kid, or you've got a neighbor's kid walking through, and then you've got a lawsuit on your hands. So I think these nuts are fine. Just use nuts. What else? My preferred area to bury a cache tube is at the side of a flower bed. Not the middle of a flower bed, but the side of a flower bed. That way, say 2-3 years from now, you're wondering, oh, I wonder if it's still watertight down there, or maybe I'd like to replace something that I have buried down there. So you can quickly dig it up. And because it's at the side of your flower bed, you're not ruining a bunch of plants. You're not destroying roots as you do this. So that's why I think it's a good idea to put it on the side of your flower bed. All right. Possible contents of a cache tube. It's important to take stuff out of containers, especially pills. Pills, for some reason, in the United States, they come in these bulky, big containers. And any given aspirin, for example, it comes with like a 4 or 5 inch long bottle that's hard. And then if you look into it, just the bottom, say 15% is taken up with pills. So either fill up the container of pills, you know, like buy 5 or 6 different bottles of aspirin and fill them all together. And you can do it that way if you want, or just pour out the pills into a baggie and make sure it's a freezer baggie, which is thicker than your average baggie. So you want to be able to push whatever you're storing so that it takes up each and every little square inch of this cache tube. And it's not conducive to have containers where there's some container holding what you want to store and the container itself is 80% air. So take stuff out of containers, put them into probably pint size freezer baggies. Okay, here's just a list. This is just off the top. You can add or subtract to this, obviously. A Sports Berkey water filter bottle. I'm always a sucker for those. It's a good idea to always be able to drink clean water. A travel bidet, probably stored at the opposite end of your cache tube. But this is a toilet paper replacement for the end times. A travel bidet. And I think I refer to both of these items in my books, Dirt Cheap Valuable Prepping and Dirt Cheap Valuable Survival Retreat. Band-Aids. And obviously, you need to take these out of the Band-Aid container and put them into freezer baggies. A multi-tool. And I would recommend, I think Gerber is a good quality multi-tool that does not cost very much. There's also a trick to buying a whole bunch of multi-tools that have been confiscated by the TSA at all the airports. And that's something I referred to in my book, Dirt Cheap Valuable Prepping. But the problem is there, you might spend $20 or $30 and get like 8 or 9 used multi-tools from that game. Again, that's referred to in Dirt Cheap Valuable Prepping. Junk silver. Junk silver is dimes and quarters that were minted in the United States before 1964, and the silver content is a whole lot higher. And for that reason, it's acknowledged that that coinage might be something that can be used for barter if there's a total societal collapse. Also, I've kind of gone back and forth on this, whether to keep cash, you know, like $200 in ones or something. Will that, I don't know, $500 in ones, will that be something that you can use after societal collapse? That's debatable. I don't know, but it might be something that you can just kind of hedge your bets and keep some cash in. Not huge denominations, just ones and fives and tens. Here's something else you can keep in a cash tube: disassembled guns and ammo. Also, work gloves, and I'm a sucker for Wells Lamont work gloves. These can also, you can use them to work in, but they also keep your hands warm. So I like Wells Lamont work gloves. Also, you can keep extra clothing in your cache tube. Like I said, you can have an 8-foot long cache tube if you want. And there's no problem with keeping extra clothing. I'm talking about jeans or something, but they take a lot of space. Female stuff. And again, I'm referring to something I referred to in my book, Dirt Cheap Valuable Prepping. Female stuff, you can store tampons, but let's face it, you're always going to run out. Female stuff, there's something called the menstrual cup, which is a great substitute for tampons for women of that age. If we're talking total societal collapse, again, it's called a menstrual cup. And it's reusable. Flashlight plus Eneloop batteries. That's my favorite brand of rechargeable batteries. Eneloop, E-N-E-L-O-O-P batteries. Flashlight, I think I talked about that in my books too. Goal Zero is a great solar charger for these batteries. AA is normally the best size for these batteries, and also a battery charge meter. So in other words, in any given battery, does it still have a strong charge or not? I don't know. Let's check it out on the battery charge meter. And that's something you'd probably want to store in a cache tube as well. Now, here's a subject that is outside the scope of this podcast today, and that is Faraday cage. If what you're worrying about, and this is a respectable worry, is EMP or something called a coronal mass ejection, you'd want to wrap anything that's electrical, you'd want to wrap it up first with some insulation like styrofoam or something, and then on the outside of that, wrap it up good with aluminum foil. That way, the electronics that you're wrapping up will not be fried by an EMP. But like I said, that's outside the scope of today's podcast, but I encourage you to check it out. Look that up. It's called Faraday Cage. And also, there's some reference of a Faraday cage in chapter one of my next book, EMP NYC. There's a reference to several Faraday cages. Also, more things to keep in your cache tube, medication and your prescription medications, and also antibiotics, which are possible to be gotten out there. Keep all this in baggies, but also keep the labels inside the baggie. So if you have a baggie with a bunch of white pills, how do you know if that's amoxicillin or standard aspirin? Well, that's why you keep the label inside that baggie along with the same pills. All right, where was I? The OTC medications, those are also good to keep in a cache tube, especially Benadryl in case you're around somebody who has an allergic reaction to anything, Benadryl, and also Imodium AD. I think if things get really bad, diarrhea could be a killer. So having Imodium AD will be good to have. Also, it's a good idea to have in your cache tube antifungus lotion. And remember my discussion in that book, Dirt Cheap Valuable Prepping. I think if things really go south, there's going to be a lot of people who are not fully bathing. And that means a lot of people are going to be in serious pain from jock itch or athlete's foot. And anti-skin fungus cream is something that it will be extremely valuable. So keep that in your cache tube, and it probably costs very little at the local Walmart. Also in your cache tube, keep extra prescription glasses and sunglasses. In this situation, it might be a good idea to have it in a case so that you don't press down in there and then warp your glasses and break them. Also might be a good idea to buy some Gatorade mix or some similar electrolyte drink mix. Put that in your cache tube. Also a warm blanket. I've seen it looks kind of like aluminum foil, but it works and it takes very little space. So it's probably a good idea to keep several of those and put those in your cache tube. You can buy those on Amazon. Also, several pouches of Mountain House food. I can imagine being starving and hungry and digging up a cache tube and heating up some water and having a good meal by Mountain House. I like their food and they have a shelf life of 30 years or more. Also, to eat out of Mountain House pouches, it's a good idea to have long sporks that are metal. Also, 550 paracord is something good and it doesn't take up much space and it doesn't weigh very much. Also, a rain poncho. You can find some rain ponchos that are very small. All right, now don't laugh. Don't laugh. For high net worth preppers, this is a cache tube is kind of a treasure chest, so put treasure chest items inside it, as opposed to putting all this stuff in a safety deposit box at a bank. So I'm talking about Krugerrand gold coins or gold bars, wads of cash, originals of paintings. I know that sounds weird. I'm already writing the sequel book to EMP NYC, and there's going to be an art auction scene where somebody wins an art auction of a painting, and they're given the original scrolled up, and they're given a copy that they can hang up on the wall. I hear that that is something that happens with these million-dollar paintings, but that's something you can put in a cache tube. Like I said, rich people do this. Anyway, that's all I have to say regarding cache tube prepping. remember to check out those two chapters of my books, the container chapter in Dirt Cheap Valuable Prepping, and also chapter 18 in Dirt Cheap Valuable Survival Retreat. And speaking of books, be watching for my book, EMP NYC, which will be released on Kindle March 30th and paperback soon thereafter. So I hope you found today's episode of the Survival in Motion podcast informative and educational. I hear the music. That means our time is up. Thank you for joining me. God bless.